in the name of Jesus, Father. We're thankful for what you've done in our lives, Lord. We're thankful for what you did on our behalf. We're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the cross. We're thankful for the grave that he raised from. We're thankful for the life that he lived leading up to all of that, Lord. We're praising you and thanking you for Jesus this morning. We're praying that, Lord, as we get into your word, that you'll use it to speak to us. Lord, use the stories and metaphors and things that are shared, Father, to help get that message home about the transformation that you have begun and are continuing in our life, Lord, as we are formed more into the image of Christ, Lord. We're grateful, Lord. It's things that we cannot do on our own, Lord. We know that we look to you for the help, the solution, the answer for all of our needs, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So today we're going to talk about transformation, okay? Transformation. And now, just kind of a, you know, brief overview of where we're going, but basically it's about your life becoming different, a little bit different, okay, than it was before. And so many of us have started with a moment with God where we're born of the Spirit, born again, some people call it. And it's a time when our new life in Christ begins. And then from that moment, it seems like for a lot of Christians, and I don't know if this describes anybody, but we kind of grow, we get excited, we're on fire for the Lord. This is awesome. This is great. God's doing things. And then after a while, it kind of plateaus and we kind of reach a point where maybe we're not feeling like we're growing as much and as things aren't as, you know, quite as awesome anymore or whatever it is. And so it kind of gets to that point. And so transformation, what I'm going to help show this morning, I hope, is that we don't have to finish there. We don't have to stop there, but the transformation is still in process. It's still a process, no matter where you are, if you're, you know, a pastor or just came to know Jesus or whatever it is. We're all in the same kind of a process where God is doing some things in our life. And some of it, many of you know my background, I came out of some pretty rough stuff, but as I came out, the transformation in the early days was pretty easy to see. I mean, it was like, wow, things are totally different. I went back to a 10-year reunion and literally got called names by the people there. I mean, bad name stuff. But one of them, the best one for me, was Jesus Freak. Okay, I love that. But it meant that they saw something was completely different about this guy. This is not the same guy. He looks the same, but something is not the same. And they knew that. Okay, well, that transformation continued, and it continues today in my life where I love to get to the next step, to get to the next level, to get a little bit deeper and further with God and allow him to actually transform my life to that next level, you know, where I'm just understanding something about his word or something about worship or prayer becomes more effective or whatever it is, that I get just a little bit deeper and further than before. And so that's kind of where we're going when we talk about transformation. The Bible gives us pretty specific instructions about transformation in Romans chapter 12. It says to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Okay, you know, in the last couple of weeks, we talked about wanting to connect with God in a way that allows us to understand and know his will. Therefore, we can pray his will. We can stay in his will, step in it. Okay, but this one says that we are not to be conformed or lined up with this world. Okay, we don't want to mold ourselves to the ways of the world. Okay, if you think about molding something, you know how they make a door handle for your car. It's made out of plastic. It's a mold, right? They pour plastic, liquid plastic, into something, and it forms into a mold. We don't want to do that with the world because the world has a mold that it wants us to fit into. It has a mold that is a little bit different, probably, most likely different than that of God. It may be more of, where greed is important or lust or, you know, good looks or, you know, esteem or whatever it is, you know, you put it together, it may be the world's got a different image of what's cool, what's important, what is should be your focus. Okay, so we don't want to mold ourselves to the world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of what I'll call our old man mind. Okay, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, the scripture says. Okay, so we want to renew our old man mind. Okay, because when you got saved, your spirit is born of the Spirit. You're born again. It's going to heaven. It is perfect with God. It made you right with him. All those things. But your mind didn't change, right? If you still had, you know, kind of a sailor's vocabulary, so to speak, before you got saved, you probably still had the sailor's vocabulary the day after. Okay, it's because that didn't change just automatically overnight. It began to, something began, but it didn't necessarily change altogether. So it says to renew your mind or your old mind man, lining it up with the Word of God. Because the world's going to tell you what's important, but the Word of God is going to elaborate. It's going to tell you what's really important. Okay, that word transformed in the Greek, some of you know this, it's the word metamorpho, okay, in Greek, metamorpho. Okay, and it simply means to change, to transform, or to become different. Okay, to change, transform, or become different. Metamorpho, some of you already probably figured out, is where in the English language we get the word for metamorphosis. Okay, which is that process, if you know, remember your science, right? It's where the caterpillar goes through metamorphosis, right, and becomes a butterfly. Something transforms into a butterfly, or the caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. It becomes different, okay? What starts out as a crawling bug, right, wraps itself in a cocoon, and I actually watched a little video of it. I was going to show it this morning, but I didn't put it together, but about it, you know, in fast motion, they put it in fast motion, how it builds this little cocoon up around itself. Okay, so this little bug builds up a cocoon, wraps itself in a cocoon, and then it transforms into this beautiful flying creature. Okay, so for the Christian, our life is transformed, or you could say metamorphosed, okay, into a Christ-like being that walks by faith in the Spirit, not according to the natural realm of the flesh. Okay, your flesh is pulling in one direction, and the Spirit says, no, this is the way. Okay, and so we want to go that route. So metamorphosis for the Christian is where we're being formed into that Christ-like image that walks in the Spirit according to the Spirit by faith and not according to the flesh or according to the ways of the world. Okay, during this process, you could say that we as Christians are wrapped in a robe of righteousness. Okay, we're protected during this time of metamorphosis, so that when these things are taking place, that we have a robe of righteousness, and that gives us that advocate with the Father, right? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father named Jesus. Okay, this is about the wrapping ourselves in a robe of righteousness while all things become new. Okay, things are being changed inside of that robe of righteousness, inside of that cocoon. It's kind of what the Bible's talking about when it says you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, where the old things become passed away, and behold, all things become new. You go from a creepy, crawly bug wiggling along through life into this, you know, transformed into this beautiful, flying, glorious butterfly, right? Okay. Well, what happens to that caterpillar inside that cocoon, that little transformation that takes place in there, is nothing short of miraculous in my eyes. It's like a baby in the womb kind of thing. That is just miraculous to me. It just wows me to even think about how all this stuff takes place inside of a mom's womb. But the same thing for that caterpillar. It is nothing short of miraculous. And the transformation that takes place in the Christian's life, in a believer's life, is supernatural as well. Something wow about that takes place in people's lives. Many of you can look back on your lives and see that you're obviously not the same person that you were when you were born again, when you gave your life to Jesus. Okay, I have shared about my story, but many of you have got similar stories that, wow, your life is so much different than it once was because of Jesus and your relationship with Him. For a lot of people, it's your complete identity has changed. You're not who you were. I shared last week about being the biker dude, right? And my identity was wrapped up in riding Harleys and running with rough crowds, and that was my identity. And I had to become, as a Christian, my identity began to change, and I began to, you could say, metamorpho into more of a Christ-like being, somebody that was living out the principles of God and what His Word says. Amen. Praise God. So change, though, or transformation, like we're talking about, is kind of a funny thing, okay? Because many people, and maybe many of you, will even say that you want change, okay? You want things to be different in your life or your circumstances, but when it begins to happen, then you put the brakes on like there's no tomorrow. It's like, wait a minute, something's happening here. I don't know what it is. I think I'm afraid of it, therefore I'm going to break against it. I'm going to stop. Okay, so often we desire for change to take place in our life or our circumstances, but we're not really willing to spend the time in the cocoon for that metamorpho to take place. Okay, because in that cocoon, there's things that are going to happen in there where the little tiny wiggly legs on the caterpillar are being changed, and the antennae is becoming different, and the things are changing inside of that cocoon. And so as it comes out, it's going to be different. Okay, we have to allow that to take place in order to get to that next part of life or what God is calling us to. Yeah, I was reminded this week about the attitude that kind of goes along with maybe putting the brakes on or what kind of hinders us from experiencing true change. I don't know if anybody listens to the Christian radio, but I listen to it once in a while, and I heard a song the other day by Matthew West, and I don't remember the lyrics exactly and kind of what he said, but the gist of it was this. He says, you know, I'm sick and tired of the world the way it is, and all the tragedies, and there's all the homelessness, and there's all the problems and poverty. And he says, he shook his fist at God and said, God, why don't you do something? And God says, I did. I created you. Right? And that attitude of kind of blaming God for all the circumstances and saying, why don't you do something about this? Why do I got to struggle through life like this? What's this problem in my life? Why am I? And we're blaming God, saying, why don't you do something about it? And God is looking at us saying, hey, I did. I created you. So often we look at the circumstances and even our own life, and we cry out to God to do something, and the whole time God is trying to get you to understand that He already did something by creating you and putting you in the right place at the right time to make a positive difference, both either in your life or in the lives of the people around you. Okay, so as He puts you and you're in this cocoon and you're supposed to be changing, rather than staying in there and letting it all take place, you start kicking and screaming and wiggling and trying to get out of it, and you're resisting against what God is actually trying to do in your life. You know, this week I had a phone call from someone that had just gotten out of a treatment program. Okay, and it's something I can relate to. I went through it myself, and so they're kind of wondering if I could help them get back on their feet financially. And I said, man, I really don't have that, but listen to this. Listen to what I do have. And I shared, because I have a full testimony of Jesus Christ saving my life, delivering me, and all these things. And I poured it all out. And I said, do you have this? And let's go this direction. And began sharing with this person all these different things and experiences that I had gone through, and how Jesus Christ alone was the only reason and only way that I was able to make it through and be delivered. And they got quiet and they listened, and it became a powerful message in that person's life. Okay, so that was something that I had gone through at some point in life that I was now able to use as an experience to share. Okay, and some of you have been there, done that. You've gone through experiences. You've been through something. Okay, and now when you get into those circumstances, God is going to say, hey, I got this guy over here that knows exactly what you need, and He puts you into their life and begin to share. Okay, there's other times when you're going to want to allow God to put you in a specific place. I'm going somewhere with all this. We'll get to it in just a minute. But okay, when we first moved to Rollins, I think I've told this story, but it's worth telling again. I was kind of, it was late in the year. It was like October when we moved here. And so the first thing, one of the first Rollins experiences we had was the downtown holiday parade. Okay, and I went to the parade, and I was kind of disappointed or appalled. I don't know what the right word is, but it was, there was like six floats, and two of them had live Santa Clauses on them. So if there was any kids there into Santa Claus, I know I'm not, but I just heard a family, the kids saying, Mom, how is Santa Claus on two different floats at the same time? You know, it just didn't make sense to have two live Santa Clauses in one parade, okay? So we do this, and then, okay, after the six floats go by, then it's time for everybody to mingle down at the depot, the old depot, and we're going to have cookies and hot chocolate. And so all the crowd, the streets are lined with people, and everybody kind of filters down to the depot, and we ended up having to stand outside in the cold because the doors are locked. And so, we're all kind of waiting, and they're saying, well, I think it's some guy from the chamber that's got the key. We'll try to track him down. So meantime, we're all standing outside. It's freezing cold out, and we're all standing out there shivering around this tree. Okay, now, anybody remember the Charlie Brown Christmas tree? Okay, that would be like a masterpiece compared to this thing. It was like, it was a big tall tree, but it was kind of dilapidated and fallen over a little bit. And one side of it, you could tell somebody just stood on the ground and took some lights and kind of flung them up on one side. And so it had like lights on like a third of it, nothing else on it. And it was just, it was pretty sad. Yeah, it was pretty lame. Okay. My first thought was, who put this thing together? Who organized this? They did a horrible job. Right? My second thought was, who put this thing together? Who organized all this? Because I want to get involved. Okay? I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of the solution, because I would not leave it that way. I would have done something a little bit different. So I did. I joined the Chamber of Commerce within 2 months. And over the next several years, I served as a board member, secretary, vice president. And when I left the chamber, I was the president of the Chamber of Commerce. Okay, so during that time, I was able to influence not only that event, okay, and make that event better, but also all the other events and business that the chamber had something to do with. I was able to influence that in a positive way and actually make a difference. Well, so often, I tell that story because so often, just like my first thoughts were, okay, we want to blame somebody else for the problems and not do anything about it. We want to point our fingers at other people, or even like that Matthew West song, we want to point them at God and be disgusted about, why doesn't he do something about it? Okay, why doesn't he make change happen? The reality is that God put you on this planet for a good reason. Okay, when you gave your life to Christ, okay, and you went to God and you said, God, my life is yours. I will follow after you and serve you for all of my days. God looked back at you and he said, sweet, that's exactly the attitude I was looking for, because I have just the place for you in this life, and your skills are just what I was looking for. Okay, because God has places that he's going to put you and people he's going to have you encounter. But the key to serving successfully, the key to being used of God successfully, comes from more than just stepping out. Okay, and I want to show you this. It involves maintaining a humble attitude that says, God, you can do whatever you want to do through my life. But even more, okay, being willing to serve, being willing to be used by God, even more than that, it involves a sincere heart of devotion to God that says, you can not only do what you want to do through my life, but you can first start by doing whatever you want to do in my life. Okay, let him change you so you can change the world. Let him do something on the inside and do that metamorphosis stuff and change you and transform you into the image of Christ more and more and more, day after day after day, so that he can use you in other ways, more and more and more ways. Okay, so if you go to him and you say, God, I know I've got some weaknesses, and if you want to strengthen them, let's do that. Father, if there's some areas that I can't see that you want to work on in my life, I'm open to that. Okay, that's music to God's ears, because you're humble before him saying, you know, it's one thing to say, you can use me however you want, but he wants to hear you say, you can do whatever you want in me first. Okay, then he can use you. Then you're a humble servant. Okay, at some point, you guys let God into your life. Right? At some point you said, here I am, God, come into my life. Right? You humbled yourself, you opened up to him, and you said, some of you may have said a prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my life and have your way. Okay? You opened up your spiritual house and you let Jesus into your kitchen table. Okay? You let him in to dine with you, to be with you, to spend time with you. But now, okay, in order for the transformation to continue, that's great. He's in your kitchen. But in order for that transformation to continue and to take place, you now need to say, you know what, Jesus, as long as you're in my house, as long as you're already in my kitchen, you might as well see the rest of the house as well. Okay, you need to invite him into your living room. Okay, you need to invite him into your bathroom. Those don't get cleaned that often. Okay, and you may even want to give him full access to that dreaded stuff it all in here closet, right? Who doesn't have one of those stuff it in here closets, right? Where we kind of stuff stuff away and hope that we don't ever have to deal with that, right? Some of those things are put aside, but those are the things we want to give him access to. And we don't need to be afraid of it. You don't want to be afraid of letting Jesus do a little walkthrough into your life and get into some of those deeper areas of your life. You know what? He might say that, you know what, this item over here, it's holding you back a little bit. Let's get rid of that, okay? Well, that's easy enough. Some of it we can see it ourselves. And you might say, maybe you want to, you know, this thing over here, maybe you want to consider tossing that out too, because you really don't need that explosive anger anymore. You really don't need that defense mechanism of, you know, blowing up. You really don't need that anymore. Let's get rid of that, and he'll start to deal with stuff in your life. He may say, you know what, you don't really need that gossip anymore. We don't have to go that route. And he begins to speak into your life some things that maybe this, maybe that. You know what, that doubt, you know, let's get rid of doubt altogether, okay? If you got pain and you've been hurt and you're wounded and you got stuff, he can address those things, but you got to let him in and say, you know what? It's all yours. Let's deal with every area. I'm not going to hold back any of those things anymore. Okay, you know, hopefully you can get this. I'm going to give you an example of something about learning to go the next step, learning to let go a little bit and let God get a little bit more into your life. Because as a young believer, after being saved for only a couple months, okay, it was in a little town's church, smaller than this, 20 people in the church, and gave my life to Jesus, and I got saved, right? Went home, you know, did all the stuff, smoked my cigarettes, got stoned, all that stuff that I did as I left the church, right? By the time we got home, none of that changed overnight. So I go home, and after a month or two, I'm in the church, and the pastor catches me after a Sunday service, because I was still going every Sunday, okay? And he says, hey, I'd like to come over to your house maybe for, you know, just a visit, you know, maybe tomorrow night or something. And I'm like, I was a young Christian. I was like, okay, sounds fine to me. And so I didn't think too much of it, even though I still had all the addictions and my life was still a mess. All that evidence of all those addictions was still all over my house, right? I had ashtrays in every room in the house. The garbage can was full of beer cans and a bong on top of the TV, and you know, all the stuff was there. It was all just kind of evident. That's kind of the way I lived. I had the heavy metal CDs, Black Sabbath and Megadeth and AC/DC, and they're kind of strewn out all over the house, you know. And it was just kind of the way I lived. If you came to my apartment, you were going to find the apartment of a young, single, partying guy that was really wrapped up in the way of the world, okay? Because that's what I was when I got saved. Okay? And so, to me, it was like, this is kind of who I am. I know God's in my life now, but I didn't quite understand what all was happening. Well, I had a roommate. And my roommate was also a born-again Christian. He was actually the guy that led me to Christ, took me to church a couple times. I got saved. He went with me a few times. And then he kind of backed out a little bit because his life was still a mess. Okay, kind of like mine. And he felt conviction. He felt like, I don't really want to, you know, it was hard for him. He wasn't ready to let go of some of that stuff. And so we just didn't really like being in that church environment. But for me, you know, I had given my life to Christ. I knew I was on my way to heaven, and the transformation had begun in my life. I was slowly beginning to wrap myself in the cocoon of God's Word and learning about prayer. I had never prayed out loud before, except for the Our Father and Hail Mary and some of that kind of stuff. Okay, I had never prayed out loud in just a how are you doing, God? This is me, and let's have a conversation. I had never done that, so I'm learning how to do that. I was learning about worship. Okay, my music preference was still pretty far off from God, but I was being introduced. Some guy gave me a heavy metal Christian rap CD, you know, so I could listen to that. Okay, and so it was slowly beginning to change in my life. God was starting to reveal to me some of the things that needed to be worked on. But my Christian roommate was a little further along than I was. Okay, he already knew some of the stuff shouldn't be in the house. And so for him, he freaked out when I said, the pastor's coming over tomorrow night, right? He goes, wait a minute, he's coming over here? You know, what'd you do that for? You know, and it started this big deal. Well, needless to say, we transformed the apartment. Okay, before the pastor ever got there, we transformed it, we cleaned up and kind of put stuff away and got it about as clean as you could. In our mind, from our perspective, we did a pretty good job, right? A man of God comes into the house, okay? Things that were okay for me were not okay for my roommate. He's like, I don't think we want that in the house. Let's take the garbage out, Gary, you know? Okay, I didn't mind the smell of stenched beer. I mean, it was normal, right? So he's like, but I think we better take the garbage out, okay? Well, to have a man of God come into the house, he was able to see things from his perspective a little bit different. And for him, I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but for him to look at it, it had a little different perspective on it. For me, you know, if you're wrapped up in the world, your perspective is pretty carnal. Okay, your perspective of what's okay with God, you know, it's just your perspective is pretty carnal. It's pretty fleshy. You know, it doesn't quite, you're not lining everything up with God and in the Spirit of God yet. Okay. The things like the kind of music that you listen to, the kind of books you read, the kind of shows you watch on TV, the kind of relationships you have, the kind of friends that you keep, they all tell you something about the amount of flesh rule that you still have in your life. It'll all speak to you about something if you let God speak to you about it. You might think that, you know, a little heavy metal music jamming in the background is fine, but when your pastor comes over, okay, and he begins to hear that, he may make a comment about it, something about, gosh, why do you like listening to guys screaming about death and destruction? You know, just a question. He wasn't condemning. It wasn't, you know, real negative. He was just asking me, you know, in your new walk with Christ, why do you still go that route? And I tell you, from my perspective now as a pastor, I see that a lot, and it grieves me. My wife and I sometimes are just grieved in our prayer. Okay, as we're praying for people, because it's like, why do they still allow that in their life? And it's because of, and God's shown me some of this stuff, because of where they're at in their life. Okay, it's okay as long as they're still transforming, as long as the progress is still happening, they're going to be okay. Okay, you know, I know some of you are thinking, oh yeah, you know, I'd never listen to heavy metal music when pastor comes over. You know, I'd never do that kind of stuff. But yet there's other people that are like, what's wrong with heavy metal music? Right? It's a perspective. It's a thought of where people are coming from. Okay? But the key to that is that everybody has a little different perspective on what's acceptable to them. But in reality, God only has one perspective on what is acceptable for the perfect will of God for every believer. Okay? And remember, we want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God knows exactly what that is, and so we want to line our perspective up with His perspective in order to be able to reach into that. Okay, my roommate, although he was actually a little further along in his walk with God than I was, he had kind of matured to a point. Okay, like I may have been okay with, you know, ashtrays and beer cans in the house, but my roommate freaked out about the man of God seeing it, so that changed my perspective on it. Because now I started thinking, well, if a man of God, you don't want him to see that, well, why do I have that in my life? Maybe I don't want that stuff in my life anymore. And my perspective began to change on that day, right? Because now all of a sudden I'm seeing it from, well, you mean it's different for a man of God? You know, they're close with God. And all of a sudden, these lights started going on in my life. And I realized that if those things were offensive, or I don't care if it's offensive, if it was offensive to a man of God or not, but if it's offensive to him, it's probably offensive to God. Maybe I don't want that stuff in my life at all. And that began to change. So that transformation continued in my life. Okay, now think about letting Jesus into your life. Think about letting him into every room in your spiritual house, okay, or in your natural house. Okay? The Bible says that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and so that you are a dwelling place of God. Okay? When you think about letting Jesus into the deeper parts of your life, it kind of helps you be a little more focused on maybe getting rid of some of the stuff that might be offensive to him. Okay, what is important to him? That's why we renew our mind, line it up with him so that we know a little more. You know what? Maybe I don't need that in my life anymore. Maybe I don't want that in my life anymore. And maybe I don't have to have that in my life anymore in Jesus' name, and it goes away. Okay, just like my friend and I got busy that day and we transformed our apartment to be more of a man of God-like. Okay, when you realize you're walking with Jesus, you are the dwelling place and He is inside of you, okay, you're going to yield to the Holy Spirit a little bit more and allow Him to transform your life to be more Christ-like. Okay, that should be our goal. When Jesus hangs out with you and you take Him into every room in your house, every room in your life, okay, He may notice a few things. Okay, He may notice the music you're listening to. He may notice the things that maybe are important to him that you didn't know were important to him. And so he may bring up some of those things. Okay? It's some of the reality is that he may notice some of those things, but he's going to simply encourage you to improve in that area. Okay? God doesn't get mad at you and punish you because of the way you are. You're coming out of that stuff. And so he knows that. He's just going to gently encourage you to make some improvements or to get rid of a few things. Okay, some of those things, I'll just name it. It might be resentment. Okay, you might be resenting somebody that hurts you, that holding unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. Jesus may get into that part of your life and say, you know what, brother? That's not good for you. It's not healthy. Let's get rid of that stuff. Okay? It might be the bad habit that you've been carrying for a long time. It gives you kind of an unworthy complex, right? It makes you feel like I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. And it's because you've got an ongoing thing in your life that you feel like is against God, or you don't think that God would be okay with. Okay, never feeling like you're good enough. It might be a spirit of anger. Okay, it might be a spirit of pride. Okay, it might be a spirit of greed or a lust for money. It might be a wrong view of the opposite sex. It might be doubt, fear, anxiety. It might be things that they've been troubling you for a long time, and you're letting Jesus in, and you're beginning to see that's a part of my life that I don't want anymore. Okay, I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't have to have you. Thank you, Jesus. Get rid of it. Okay, let's get that stuff out. Whatever it is, when you let Jesus in to openly see your life, okay, he does. We pretend like he doesn't, but he openly sees your life. Okay, when we let him in to deal with those areas, he's not going to get mad at you. He's not going to punish you. He's not going to be mean. He's not going to be forceful about it. But he is going to encourage his very best for you. He is going to encourage through his Holy Spirit the divine power of God to flow in your life. He is going to encourage the perfect will of God for your life. That's what Jesus is going to lead you to. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's a reasonable request. And then it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we as a Christian, we shouldn't want to still be the same a year from now. Okay, we don't want to be the same as we were 5 years ago. We want a transformation. We are becoming more and more Christ-like in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts. Okay, because that's where all that stuff's beginning. So getting your thoughts to line up with the Word of God, it transforms you into something that is not stagnant. It's not a slowed transformation. Okay, maybe it's time to stretch your faith a little bit further than it has been. Maybe it's time to invite somebody into your life that will help you to see things from a different perspective. Okay, that roommate, he wasn't a perfect man by any sense of the word, but his perspective was still a little bit higher than mine, and I got to see that, and it began to change my perspective. Okay, spending time with somebody, men and women of God, spending time with somebody in fellowship, that's why we do it, so that you can see and be sharpened a little bit. Let your iron sharpen iron. Let other people kind of help raise you up a little bit and get you to a different place, because you are called to be that person for somebody else. Okay, no matter where you're at today, you're already that person for somebody. God determined before the world began that he was going to create a beautiful and wonderful creation called mankind, and that creation would be conformed to his image and would glorify him. Okay, God desires that you glorify God through what you live and how you live and what you do. Romans 8:29, as we close this out. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus wants you to conform to his image, because it's going to show that you're following after him. He is just the first of many believers that follow after God. God's desire from the onset of your new birth in Christ is that you determine to be more Christ-like, to be more like him every day, all the time, as much as possible. You're living out that way. And the only way to know what is important to keep and what is important to get rid of, okay, is to let him into those deep parts of your life and begin to examine you from the inside out. Okay, even the Apostle Paul said, you know, examine yourself and see whether you be in the faith. You know, see where you're at. Take that moment. Take that time with God. Okay, find your time to get alone with God. Okay, spend time in His presence. Find time to worship Him and just thank Him for who He is. And then pray and spend some time in conversation with Him. And as part of that, ask Him, God, begin to reveal to me from Your Word things that You desire to bring about as change in my life. What is that transformation? What's the next step for us? How can we go further and deeper and farther than we've been before? And God will give you just that. You'll begin to read the Word and it'll be quickened or made alive to you, and it begins to stand out off the page until something speaks to you about your life and you're like, whoa, I never saw that before. And it's God speaking to you. So you can clean up your apartment all that you want, right? You can make it look nice, okay? But the true transformation that took place in my life that day was not the physical apartment. The true transformation began as something that day inside of me that said, I want to be more Christ-like. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like a man of God that I'm inviting into my home. I want to be more like that. Okay, the Apostle Paul said to follow Him as he followed Christ. He lived his life as an example for other people to say that this is, I'm not perfect, but this I'm doing the best I can, and this is what it should look like. And so people were looking up to him and following after him as he walked on with that. Okay, it's that transformation that takes place on the inside when you decide, I've still got some room to grow yet. It's that transformation that says, God, I want you to use my life in any way possible, but start by doing something in me. Start by working out some things from the inside out. Okay? Open up your life to God and let Him transform it, and He will do greater and greater things through you. Father God, we praise You this morning. We're grateful for Your Word. We're thanking You that, Father, You have done so much on our behalf already, Lord. You have put things in motion that are unstoppable. And Father, we know that we love You and that You love us. But Father, I pray for a greater understanding of how much You love us. And Father, how You have set us up for success, Lord. If we just keep looking to You, we keep looking to Your Word, we keep reaching out to You and humbling ourselves, saying, God, I don't have it all figured out yet. I don't know everything I should do. I'm not arrived perfectly yet in the flesh, Lord. I know that there's things that You can deal with. And Lord, I open up to You. Lord, I give that to You. I give You my life. I give it again, just saying, Lord, have Your way and do what You want to do through me, but have Your way and do what You want to do in me first. Lord, make it happen. Lord, make us change. Lord, make it something new and different for each one of us as we leave here today, that we leave with a different perspective, that we leave with a different understanding, that we understand more about You and who You are and who You're calling us to be. Lord, we praise You. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.